Good morning, church. How are we? Good. Yep, everybody's still eating and drinking communion, so no one's good this morning. How are we? Yeah, okay. All right, now we're good. Awesome. So this is the second installment of Truth with Love series, and last week was truth. This week, of course, love. But we want to recap the purpose of why we're doing it and what we're on about this year, why we're preaching these series, what we're doing. So the purpose of all of this year through Heroes of the Bible was to reveal God's character. Who is God? Why do we follow him? Why is he worthy to be praised? Why is God, and what does God think of the world, and what did he do for the world? And so we unpack that in lots of different ways and always looking back through the cross on who God was. Last week was about bringing truth, was about bringing, you know, revealing those areas of deception or areas of pride where we might have convinced ourselves of something that was not of God's heart, that was of human thinking, of fleshly thinking, not of God's ways. And so we pray today that we want to soften hearts and be ready to hear Blackout Month, be ready to hear these, you know, hard topics. All throughout this year, our message or our verse that we've been, you know, using as the foundation of this year's vision has been Proverbs 3, 5, 6, which is submit to the Lord in all your ways, lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your paths straight. And so we want to continuously submit our own ways to God. Amen. Now, last week I did ask a couple of the ministry team if I kind of came out the gate a little bit too hard. The answer was mixed, so yes and no. So I want you to prepare that today's not easier than last week, okay? So just prepare, a little bit of a soft heart. Today's not easier than last week. Last week, we identified the battle of deception and pride versus truth and love. Last week, we wanted to be of the Spirit and not of the flesh. We unpacked the New Testament clarification of sin and what it was. And we wanted to have a reverence and a fear of God and who he really is. We want to love God, both in comfort and in correction. We learnt that the truth can hurt, but that we all want deception revealed from our eyes. So today, I want to pray a couple of verses over our church so that we're ready to hear Blackout Month and ready to hear the love message today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, we pray this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Philippians 1, 9 to 11, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Lord, we pray these two scriptures over our church today. Lord, that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we be filled with your righteousness. Lord, that we take off the sin that so easily ensnares, and Lord, we pray that you are glorified. Lord, that your Holy Spirit empower us to remove that sin and avoid it in the flesh. In your mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. We're going to start with a couple of stories. So I want to tell one story, and I don't want this to be too sad, but it was a sad time for me. So hopefully it's not too bad. So I talk a little bit about a time where I wasn't a Christian and I was a bit of a mess and life sucked, and God rescued me from that time. And that's an amazing thing. But as part of God rescuing me from that time where I had been drinking and was operating in a pretty bad headspace, after I got saved, the Holy Spirit really convicted me to apologize to my parents. And so, you know, I'd done some pretty bad things. I'd stolen money from them that was supposed to go for food, and I'd lied to them, and I'd done a lot of bad things that I shouldn't have done. And so I had to apologize to my parents. And so I pulled Dad aside and I said, "Hey, Dad, I got something to tell you. I got something to confess. This is what's been going on." And I told him you know, for the last 3 years, I've been doing this, and you know, all of the mess has been going on in my life, and really just poured out my heart to him. And my dad's response shook me. My dad's response was, "I know. I know. Wow. What an impacting moment that was in my life, that my dad let me hide it, let me think I'd hidden it." My dad, I said, "What do you mean you know?" And he said, "I know, and I know this battle, and I know you had to come to this yourself. I know you had to come to the revelation and the understanding that this was doing you harm before you could see healing." And so my dad, being wise, said that he knew. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "Don't spare the rod from your child." I want you to hear this, that my dad didn't spare the rod. See, discipline in the sense that we do it as to our kids, and we discipline them, is we give them a smaller consequence than life will give them. Right? We know that if they are, you know, lying and cheating in Monopoly, like they often do, they're lying and cheating in Monopoly, then we give them a smaller discipline than what the world consequence is for lying and cheating in your finances, right? So we're teaching them, we give them the smaller consequence. This time, my dad didn't spare the rod. He let me have the life consequence. He let me see, hey, you're going to make adult mistakes, you're going to bear adult consequences. The second story that I want to tell is John chapter 4, and we're going to read a lot of scripture here, so we might break a couple of times in between. But John chapter 4, and Kate recently preached on this, it is the woman at the well, and we want to see Jesus and his character, which is ultimately God's character in flesh, in a story that we can see how God behaves with sinful mankind. So it says, starting from verse 4, "Now he had gone, he had to go through Samaria, so he came down to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?' And Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' And the woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go, call your husband and come back.' And she replied, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true,' she replied. 'I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem.' 'Woman,' Jesus replied, 'believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming that has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.' The woman said, 'I know that Messiah is coming.'" When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Jesus sat down with a woman in sin, with a person in sin, dealing with their sin and bringing them to the answer in one conversation. I want to identify a deception here that could have held your mind. There's a saying, and particularly in Christian circles, that goes around that it's not untrue, but what we can assume from it is. There's a saying that goes around that Jesus hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors. Yes, that's not untrue. But the deception that goes in here is that just because he hung out with them, that means he either endorsed or was okay with their behavior. That is absolutely not the case. He was there to save from, not endorse. Jesus didn't leave the woman at the well where she was. He healed her. So much so that she went on to tell the rest of the town, hey, come, I've seen the Messiah. You need to meet this guy. He saved my life. The devil endorses sin. Jesus does not. We're going to come back to these stories a little bit later. Today is about love. And so I want to explain a little bit about what the world says love is. And remember that the world only corrupts God's perfection. Right? We're going to lift deception and reveal some truth here. The world says love is love. The world says love is to accept and endorse. The world says love is to agree with that person. And the world says love is a feeling of great affection. In a worldly sense, not in a godly sense, tear down these arguments and then we'll tear them down in a godly sense too. Love is self-defining and nonsensical. You cannot define a word by that same word. English 101. It's also nonsensical because there are different types of love. How I love my daughter is not the same way I love my wife. How I love my best mate Jono is not the same way as he loves his best mate Reese. It's obvious, right? I don't love my mom the same way that I love my wife. I don't love my mom the same way that I love my brother. Because love is not love. There is different types of love. We know that. Of course there is. Love is acceptance and endorsement. But we know that's nonsense too, because you love your wife, but that doesn't mean you agree with her all the time. Wives, you love your husbands, but that doesn't mean you agree with them all the time. Of course not. Because husbands, we make mistakes. We forget to put the bins out. That's a callback in case you don't remember. Love is to agree with that person. False. We know that. Again, we don't always agree with the people that we love. Love commits to them, even if you disagree. And love is a feeling of great affection. No. Because there are times in your marriage where you may not feel great affection, but you got to commit to love. So we know that. That's just a worldly sense. That's not even scripture. That's not even godly. We haven't even gone into godliness and into what God says love is, and we still know that what the world says about love is nonsense. Today, I pray that that deception is lifted off. So what does the Bible say about what love is? We're going to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through to 21. And I want you to remember those stories that I told you at the start. We're going to unpack them a little bit more, but remember that as we read these. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is remembering that it is God's perfection that humanity only removes and corrupts. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love, and we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And I unpack this just a little bit. God's perfect love for us is to be emulated. All throughout the heroes of the Bible, all throughout this whole season, we've spoken on God loves man, therefore hates what hurts them. We see that unpacked in so many ways. All throughout those ones. And yes, Jono, I did do some of the YouTube rearranging, so you can actually go back and find those. You don't have to search through 20 videos that are all called the same thing. You can go back and find them. But it is a character trait of God that God loves people and therefore he hates sin. Those two are not, you know, you can't have one without the other. They have to be together. If you love your brother or sister, you must love what hurts them. Oh, you must hate what hurts them, sorry. You must hate what hurts them. It's a false compassion to see someone hurting and endorse that sin. God didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it for the woman at the well. Jesus didn't say, congratulations, you've now found your one husband for life. He didn't endorse. The devil endorses sin. Jesus frees us from it. God is love. The only way that we can love perfectly is that we are Holy Spirit empowered. That's it. Any other version of love out of our own flesh is a corrupted version of God's perfection. It has to be Holy Spirit empowered. It is God's character. He is holy love. I preached a message. You can go back and find it on YouTube now. Preached a message called Justice and Mercy. And that God is all justice and all mercy. If God is a character trait, he is wholly that character trait. There is no more that you could be. If God is just, he is fully just, totally perfect justice. If he is merciful, he is fully merciful, not a portion of. And so if God is love, he is the perfect version of love. So the only way that we can ever get close to that perfect love or delivering that perfect love to the world is through God. We cannot do it on our own. So what does real love look like? Not a love that comes out of works, a love that comes out of faith. Holy Spirit empowered love. It's that love commits regardless of feeling. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He's talking about Jesus laying down his life for us. But wait, what about Luke 22, 42? It says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus in the flesh, because he is fully God and fully man, in the flesh, he knew that it was going to hurt. He knew that it was going to suck. Being crucified was going to suck. But he did it anyway. Because love commits regardless of feeling. The woman at the well, Jesus committed to her that he would heal her. Rivers of living water. Even when it meant that he was sitting in a public place with a woman he wasn't allowed to sit with by culture's standard. And my dad committed to me to see me healed even when I was in the midst of my mess. Point two is that love battles the spirits that hurt humanity. If we are to do perfect love, then we're to see this perfectly in Jesus, that he is both lion and lamb. He is the lamb slain for our sins, but he is the lion that has victory. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Right here, lion and lamb. We see that Jesus is the lamb slain for our sin that he totally did not deserve and yet took on himself. The lamb slain, but he is the lion seated at the throne. He is seated at the right hand of God. Not weak, victorious. In the woman at the well, Jesus right there sets her free. Point three is that love doesn't leave you in your mess, even if you like it. It's pretty simple. My dad didn't let me stay there. He let me stay there until it hurt. But he was going to play the long game, which is the next point. Love doesn't leave you in your mess. Love doesn't let you endorse that mess and stay there. Love plays the long game, which is point four, that dad knew, and that I couldn't see it, but dad knew that I was 17 years old or 18 years old. At the time, he was whatever that meant, I don't know, 38, something like that, 48. Dad saw the long game. Dad knew that I had years in front of me to repair the brokenness. I couldn't see it. God plays the long game for humanity. Righteousness through faith was set up at Abraham thousands of years before Jesus. God's plan for humanity plays the long game. And so when we love, through Holy Spirit empowered love, we play the long game. When we do that, we show the road to healing. Dad showed me the road to healing. He let me have a free choice to get healing, but he showed me the road. Just like Jesus showed the road to healing for this woman. He said, a day is coming where you don't have to go to a physical place to worship. You will worship because you love God. He showed her the road to healing. Point five is that love is often tough. Jesus loved And because he loved, he died for it. He also pointed out sin in people's lives. Loving others is tough, and being loved is tough. My dad's letting me have the consequence was tough love. But I needed it. I needed it. By allowing the consequence, it was tough love. But I know for a fact that if he knew, because he knew what I was doing and he knew how much it was hurting me, that that hurt him. Because if I saw my boy going through that, that would hurt me too. Love is tough. But through the Holy Spirit, we can see healing. Point six is that love is the spirit nature and not the flesh nature. We're going to read a big chunk of Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now we've got a few things, a list here that belongs to the earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, and idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. That is, absolutely God's character hates sin, hates what hurts man, all of those things that hurt us, because he loves. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things, and the list gets longer. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Wow. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's go back to the start of that verse. Right here, we see the unpacking of what hurts humanity. And then we see Christ crucified, and now no longer that we live, but Christ lives in us. And then we see the fruit of that. The perfect thing would be to translate this to the world. That we put to death the things that we used to be. That the things that hurt the world, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. The things that hurt the world are to be replaced with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and above all, love. When we see the world, we must see with clarity that people are loved by God, but we can hate what hurts those people. That those things are robbing people. They are hurting them. And where to bring the answer from all of that mess into compassion, kindness, humility is Jesus. Which brings me on to point seven. Love tells people about Jesus. There is a really famous quote that we quote all the time, and it comes from Reverend Rhys Anderson. great, great famous quote, because when he said it, it smashed the whole congregation. So, you know, it's wonderful. If you don't tell people about Jesus, you either don't believe it or you don't love them. The truth of Jesus, not a watered down version, is that sin has robbed you and Jesus is your answer. And if we don't tell them, then we're letting them sit in their sin. It means you don't believe it or you don't love them. So then, how do we combine truth with love? I need you to know that the world tells people that truth and love are at odds. They are not at odds. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And God is love. Therefore, truth with love is God with God. Right? It is not at odds. God is wholly truthful and wholly love. They are not at odds with one another. Lift off deception that tells us that the world's nonsense definition of love is to be believed. Because God is love, not what the world says. We take off the pride that says to point out every single flaw on someone else, but also the deception that says point out none of them. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring a word of knowledge or wisdom. We take the truth of God, that is the Bible, deliver it, the message contained within by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit's love, wisdom, and knowledge. And we emulate Christ, who is God. We emulate Christ, who is God, with God, with God, the Trinity. The truth of Scripture, like he delivered to the woman at the well. With love from the Holy Spirit, Jesus, we see Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit at baptism. And the avoidance of sin in our own flesh. And we see that so perfectly in Christ. Set free from sin ourselves so that we may now go and set others free. Jesus, so perfect, the only one, completely sinless, so that he could set us free from our sin. God, we pray today that you are preparing our hearts, preparing our minds, preparing our spirits, our souls for Blackout Month. God, that when we hit these topics, we pray that deception is lifted, that pride is lifted. God, we pray that truth is pouring out, love is pouring out, courage is pouring out, that we may fearlessly declare the gospel, fearlessly declare that sin is what you died for, not to be endorsed, to fearlessly declare that you are the answer for that sin, to rid it in our mortal bodies and to rid us from the consequence in eternity. God, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, that even whilst we were still sinners, even whilst we were the ones that stuffed up and it had nothing to do with you, but your character was so loving that you would come and free us from that, free us from the chains of sin. Lord, I pray today, right across this room, the chains of sin broken, the chains of bondage broken. God, I pray for those people that have been stuck in habitual sin. Lord, I pray that that is gone today. Gone today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Pour out revelation. Pour out strength, courage, empowerment by the Holy Spirit. God, we pray, habitual sin done in the flesh. God, we pray, Deception and pride, done, gone, finished. And we pray truth and love poured out over our city. In your holy, wonderful name. Amen.